one of my very, very favorite scriptures. I turn to this so often. Chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Spirit. As we're working our way through the Bible, we're in the middle of Paul's letters now, and I'm discovering a little bit of a problem in trying to do letters of Paul week after week after week here. Paul never writes to somebody just to chit-chat. He does, you know, it's not like, hey, I'm in Philippi, weather's nice here, wish you were here. I mean, those are not the kind of things he writes. He only seems to write a letter if he's honked off about something. And so that means week after week after week, every time I'm picking up this letter, he's upset about this one week, he's agitated about this one week, he's, you know, griping about this another week, and just sort of like week after week, and it's a little bit infectious, so I'm trying to be sure that when I come to you and talk about Paul that I'm not too worked up over some of the stuff, because everything he got worked up over is still going on, and it, so it's kind of easy to, you know, so he's not only worked up, he manages to work through what he's worked up. So that's what I have to be really careful that I'm not just getting worked up about the things that are aggravating him, but I got to be careful I'm working through things along with him as he's doing that in his letters. Now, the letter to the Galatians, you know he's worked up about something because he ends it essentially with this. He ends the whole letter of Galatians essentially with this phrase, "From now on, let no one make trouble for me." Okay, you're thinking, okay, I wonder what he said here earlier than that. And Jordan, I know you're always wanting to get my sermon topics ahead of time for planning the music, so I just want to let you know, my last sermon before I retire is going to be that scripture. From now on, let no one make trouble for me. So, just let you know, that's my sermon topic. So, I don't know what music goes with that, but, so that's what he says. So we're asking a question, okay, what's he worked up over now? Since that's the, since that phrase appears in this letter. And what he's worked up about is he's worked up because what he says that the people of Galatia have exchanged one gospel for another. That's the main thing he's worked up in this letter. Now, the people of Galatia, Galatians in the time of Paul, there were two ways that you could be a Galatian. One is it was an ethnic group that was in north central Turkey. Another way that you could be a Galatian was to live in the Roman district of Galatia, which is also in Turkey. So he's writing to the people who live in this region of present-day Turkey, and he is, it's a number of different towns, a number of different people, and he's been there, and he started churches there. So that's who he's writing to. And he says, in essence, you've exchanged the gospel I taught you for another gospel. So let's think about what that means now. So the word gospel means simply good news. And I want to define some of these words very precisely, because if we don't define them precisely, we're going to miss Paul's message. We need to understand the definitions he had for these things. So in Paul's mind, the gospel, and I want to use an analogy here, the gospel means your name is on the list to get something good from God. That's the gospel. So you say, I wonder if I'm going to go to heaven. And I say, let me check the list here. Yep, your name's on the list. Okay, that's the gospel for you. Okay? So, and maybe Dave says, well, you know, actually I'm thinking about, you know, I'm trying to do a few things, and I think I need a miracle or two in my life. Not a big one, just a little miracle. And so let me see if your name's on the list here to to get one of those miracles, your name's on the list. That's the gospel, that your name is on the list. And maybe you say, maybe Julie says, you know, I'm wondering, you know, living with Dave's been really hard lately. And I'm wondering if God's got any comfort or encouragement to give me. I say, let me see. Yeah, your name's on the list. That's the gospel. So the gospel is the good news that your name is on the list. And maybe you just want some, maybe you don't even want a miracle. Maybe you just want to be stronger, wiser, more loving. You may say, I think I can do this. I just need a little help from God here to show me the way. Is my name on the list to kind of help me grow, help me become stronger? Let me check here. Yeah, your name's on the list. The gospel. My name's on the list for something. Now, so here's the thing. The question then becomes, how did your name get on the list? Can you justify the fact that your name is on the list? Well, there are two ways of justifying getting your name on a list. One is you paid to get it on there. So I might say, Sarah, yeah, you're on the list, and it says here, you paid $8,200 to the Methodist Church to go to heaven. You say, well, good, I paid for it. So, all right. So, or I may say, Julie, you're on the list here because you've been patient, you've been kind, you've been understanding. So you earned your way onto the list. Okay? So the question is, how do you justify getting your name on the list? There's two ways. One is you can pay for it or earn it. The other way is somebody can just give it to you for free. Your name got on the list through nothing you did or paid for, but somebody else paid for it. Somebody else loved you. Somebody else was thinking of you. And that's how your name got on the list. So that means there are two types of gospels. There's the good news, my name's on the list because I earned it or I paid for it. That's one type of gospel. Or there's the good news, my name's on the list because somebody was thinking of me, because somebody cared about me. Two types of gospel. And so Paul says to the Galatians, you've traded in the gospel you were taught, which is your name's on the list because God loved you first, and God was thinking about you, and God cares about you. That's one type of gospel. You've traded in one type of gospel for another. You think your name's on the list because of something you did. You've traded in one gospel for another. Does that make sense? Kind of see what he's talking about. I mean, you got to really work with Paul here, because it's sort of like you read through the whole thing and you think, I don't have any idea what I just read. So it's pretty easy to do that with Paul. So we're going to back up. We're just going to take these a word at a time. Now, here's the thing. The Galatians, they thought they were on the list to go to heaven. They thought they were on the list to get gifts, to be given strengths and abilities and things that they could do. And they thought they were on the list because of something they had done. They thought that they were on the list because of their religion. Now, here's where, I hate to say it, but about 80 to 90% of Christians I know actually think more like the Galatians than they do like Paul. So that's why this is kind of a hard thing here. So I just want to tell you what Paul said. You can argue with him. You don't have to argue with me. But Paul says, if you think you're on the list because you confessed your sins, because you went to the altar, because you prayed the sinner's prayer, if you think you're on the list because you became a Christian, if you think you're on the list because you go to church, if you think you're on the list because you're nice to people, if you think you're on the list because you've made a lot of sacrifices to be good as opposed to being bad, if you think you're on the list for any religious purpose at all, then you're who Paul's talking about to the Galatians, because you've traded the gospel, one gospel for another. Yeah, I'm on the list, but it's because I took the steps I needed to take to be saved. I'm on the list, but because I believe something. And so Paul in all of Paul's writings, and we see it more clearly in the book of Romans than we do Galatians, but it's there in Galatians as well. In all of Paul's writings, he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel that we are saved by grace, not by works, and not by following some sort of religious regulation or pattern or law or somebody who stepped us through it. We are saved by grace, not by works. So, here's the thing also, is that if we, the lighting is really bad here, and I rewrote this sermon this morning, throughout what I had earlier. If we think our name is on the list because we earned it, then we're going to have a different attitude than if we think our name is on the list because somebody was thinking of us. And this is where it plays out in a church. If we know we're only on the list by the grace of God, then we're going to be different from people who think they're on the list because they did the right things and they believe the right things and they're more moral than everybody else. If we think our name is on the list because we've earned our way there, then we're going to be a lot harder to get along with. And that's where dissensions and strife and quarrels are going to appear in the life of the church. When people think they're on the list because they've earned it. The thing about earning your way on the list, you see, and I want to talk again about the difference between earning your way on the list and just being out of the blue placed on the list. Last month, Jay and I went on a cruise, and we sent the money in. It wasn't a lot of money. I kind of wondered if we were going to get a rowboat instead of a ship. And so we get down there, and we get in a line, and we finally get up to the window. And they say, your name, please. And we give them our name, and they flip through the page. Yep, your name's on the list. You can go on there. Now, the reason our name was on the list is because we paid that money. So that's how we got on that list. When I was in seminary, my friend Bill and I decided to take a three-week backpack trip through the British Isles. And before we left, one of the women in my church gave me a phone number of a friend of hers who lived on the Isle of Wight and said, give her a call and tell her tell her that I recommended you, that I know you. And so we get over there and I give this woman a call and she doesn't know me. And I say, I was just told to give you a call because Jeannie Moore gave me your name. And so she said, well, come on down and stay with us. She says, be our guests. Come on down here and stay with us. And so we got down there, and they lived in an old home that had been started in the 1300s, and every century somebody had added on to it, and it was all still there. So as you walked from room to room, you got the whole history of, you got 600 years of history. And then she brought us, she had tea time at 4. She brought us tea in bed in the morning, which is British. They took us all around the aisle. They were an old couple. They told us stories. They had a lot of stories about World War II that they had lived through, and he'd worked for the British Broadcasting Company. And they just gave us everything. We didn't do a thing to deserve all of those blessings that we got from them. Not a thing. And we didn't pay for it. We didn't ask. We didn't even know to ask for it. They had so many things to offer. We didn't even know what to ask for. So we didn't even do that. And yet we got these blessings. So when you are blessed in such a way that if you think you're being blessed, your name's on the list because you paid for it, you're going to have one way of thinking. If you know you're on the list and you aren't even smart enough to know what to ask for that's on that list, you're going to be a different kind of person. When my daughters were little, I have to be really careful how I pick on my daughters when Mindy's here. So it's much easier when she doesn't make it. But when they asked me for money that they had earned, they would ask with a certain authority. Hey, we did that work. Pay up right now. So, you know, they'd have a certain attitude about them. If we'd made an agreement, they did the work, they'd earn the money. But if they wanted money that they hadn't earned, they were so sweet. And the relationship was so easy in those moments. So there's a big difference between how we are when we think we've earned something. I pay Verizon a lot of money. And every month they screw up my bill. And you would not know when I'm talking to them that I'm pastor. Because I paid for that service, and they keep messing it up now. So, but, you know, if on the other hand somebody, you know, I know that I have a very different attitude if I know somebody's done something for me and I didn't deserve that at all. So that's just the two different ways we're justified. We're either justified by grace or we're justified by our own works. Paul sometimes says we're either justified by grace or we're justified by the law. The law being we do the things that are necessary to get our name on the list. Now I want to take a look at justification from another angle. It's a very complicated concept. It's a great concept. It's one of the most important concepts to understand. But I want to look at it from a little different angle now. And here's how I want to look at justification. There are two broad categories of the stuff we need saving from. We need to be saved from the stuff out there, and we need to be saved from the stuff going on inside of ourselves. So we need to be saved from the stuff out there. We need to be saved from people who treat us badly. We need to be saved from systems that are dysfunctional. We need to be saved from diseases that hit us. We need to be saved we need to be saved from catastrophes that are looming in the cosmos right now. So there are things out there, we need to be saved from them. And we hope that by the grace of God, that we will be saved by grace. Because sometimes we don't know what to do to solve these problems. And a lot of our prayer requests are because we don't know what to do or we don't have the power to do something. And we haven't earned it, but we just offer to God and we say, will you please help me or will you help somebody I care about? And we don't pay money for it or anything like that. We don't pay for it. We just hope for that grace to come and help from things out there. Now, the other thing that we need to be saved from is what's going on inside of ourselves. And we talk about being saved from what's going inside of ourselves. We're talking about being saved from darkness. We're talking about being saved from character flaws. We're talking about being saved from depression, from our weaknesses. We're talking about being saved from the seven deadly sins, from our greed, our lust, our sloth. When we talk about being saved from what's inside of us, Paul raises that issue as well. So we're saved from what's out there, and we're saved also from what's inside of us. And this is where what Paul says can get really confusing to us, because in Galatians he shifts the phrase. In Romans he talks about being saved by grace. That's how you get on the list of nothing of your own doing. But then in Galatians, he shifts the phrase and he says, we are saved by faith. This can be really confusing. So I want to talk about what that means. What does it mean to be saved by faith? And it's those inner thing. It's that inner salvation. We need to be saved from ourselves and our attitudes and our addictions and the snares we're caught in, our personality problems. We need to be saved from ourselves. This is where particularly the phrase applies. We are saved by faith. So let's talk now about what faith is in Paul. When we're saved by faith, and by the way, we need to be saved by faith. We need to be saved from what's going on in our within ourselves. Otherwise, even when we're being saved from what's out there, we're going to miss it. Somebody will be kind to us, but if we're, you know, think how many times we reject kindness because there's something dark going on inside it. We need to be saved from ourselves. Think of how many times that we could be cheered up with someone else's joy, but we've blocked it off because of some barrier inside of ourselves. Think about how many times we have opportunities that are right available to us, but there's such a negativity going on inside of ourselves, we don't even see the opportunity or think we should take it. So we need to be saved by, we need to be saved from ourselves. And I don't know about you, normally I try to work on myself. You know, that's where New Year's resolutions and other types of things come in. But the fact is, as far as I'm concerned, as far as me, and, you know, and I really know all of you, we're beyond being self-fixed. Not that there aren't some things we can't still do, but we really need a little grace. We need a little help from God. And so how does God give us that help that we don't deserve? How does God give us that help? The primary venue that God uses, the primary channel for the grace of God, for those inner needs that we have, we call faith. God uses this strange thing we call faith. And I want you to hang with me here because I want to share with you how Paul understands faith. It's how God gets inside of us. Faith for Paul is faith that we are loved by God. That's what faith is. Now, I got to tell you, there are days that I'm not convinced that God loves me. There are days the arthritic pain or whatever pain is too much. There are days I've got too much negative incoming from other people. And I'm not sure. There are days I'm not sure God loves me. There are days I'm not sure God loves me because all of the things I'm praying for, coming up with big fat zeros from God. Nothing's happening. There are days that I put out, despite my best efforts, and get no results from it. There are days that I look at the world and how it's going, and I think, God, where are you? And so I struggle all the time with whether God loves me or not, because there are times I can't see the evidence. And there are times that I wonder whether God loves certain people because they have so many problems and so many things aren't working out for them. And when I pray, I'll be honest, I'll be truthful with you. When I pray, sometimes I'm really angry at God because of people I love who are having so many problems, and it seems like God's not doing anything to help them with the things they most need right now. And so the only way that I can be in touch with life as it really is and still believe that I'm on God's list is to have faith. Faith comes not from actually seeing the list or seeing results. Faith is the risk I choose to take when all the evidence seems contrary. If you're certain about God's love for you, if you're just really, you know, you just have absolutely no doubts, then that's not faith. I don't know what it is, because I've never felt that. I've been with people who they have no doubts whatsoever, no uncertainties, and they're just giddy with happiness over the love of God. I don't understand that. I don't want to judge it or condemn it. I'm just saying I don't understand it, because that's not how I am. The only way I can get to the love of God is to take a leap of faith. And faith means for me that, I mean, I can see the love of God. I can conceptualize it, but it's over here. It's not where I'm at and not where the people I love are or where my world is at the moment. It's over here. And so now, if I know I'm loved, I'm going to have a certain attitude or certain actions. But if I think I'm not loved, then I'm going to be different. If I think I have to earn everything, if I think I have to pay the price myself for everything, if I think that I'm the one that has to fix and solve everything, then I'm going to be different. And I'll pick on Mindy again. If Mindy shares something with me, the worst thing for me to do is to jump in and think I need to fix it. Most of the arguments Mindy and I have are because I'm trying to fix something. I'm different when I think it's up to me. But when if I could just know the love of God, I'd be so much better. I'd be so much more graceful. I'd be wiser. I'd be more peaceful. I'd have more joy. I'd be freed to love more. If I could just, but for me to get there, I have to take a jump. It's not the way I am. I have to jump. That's faith. Faith is when we choose to have the attitude and take the actions that we would if we for sure had evidence we're on the list. So Paul says we are justified by faith. Our faith is that we are loved. Our faith is that we're on the list. And the list is solid. It's reliable. It's dependable. It is what's going to happen. Faith that we're on the list. And we become different when we're that way. We are all different when we know that we're loved. If I'm in the presence of somebody who's hostile, if I think I'm in trouble, then I'm going to shrink back. I'm not going to share my personal feelings and my writings and things that I want to say if I think the people are hostile. I'm going to pull back, way, way back. But if I think you love me, then I'm going to be very different with you. I'm going to be a lot more open. I'm going to be a lot more myself. And everybody's that way. And I know that if I'm relating to somebody and we're trying to work through a difficult path, I know the most important thing for me to do is to, if I do love somebody, to let them know that. That's far more important than me telling them what to do. So Paul says we are saved by faith. In other words, we are justified by faith. When we take that risk, it makes a huge difference. That's how God gets inside of us. Now, let's talk about the bad, the good, and some practical things. Wrap it up here. The bad news in Galatians is what happens when religious people trade in one gospel for another. It is bad news. Because then what happens is that when we believe that we've got what we've got because of what we've earned or what we've done or because our religion, then what's going to happen in a church is exactly what's happened in all these churches Paul's writing to. There are going to be quarrels, and there's going to be strife, and there's going to be division, and there's going to be gossip, and there's going to be even people with malicious attitudes, and there's going to be a lot of pain, and people are going to be boastful, and people are going to be envious of each other. Paul lists 15 sins in the fifth chapter of Galatians. 7 of them are sins that you generally don't see in church, like fornication, that sort of thing. Generally, you don't see it in church. Unless we put dark curtains on the windows, then you never know what's going to happen in the room. But generally, 7 of the things he lists, we don't see happen inside the church. But it's interesting that 8, the majority of what he lists, are things that go on in the church all the time. And they go on in churches where people are, they've traded the one gospel for the other. We take our religion too seriously. We take our doctrine too seriously. We take our morality too seriously. We take our ethical offense, people who offend us, too seriously. We take other people's way of doing things and the fact that we're not getting our way, we take that too seriously. And no wonder churches are struggling, because we really have traded in one gospel for the wrong one, I think. Paul thinks. So that's the bad news, is what happens when we think we're on the list because of something we've done to deserve it, or we've believed the right way or done the right thing. The good news is that God's love is, nothing we do wrong can stop God's love. The good news is we're on the list, and even though we sin and get it wrong, and even though we hurt each other, and even though we hurt ourselves, it doesn't stop God from loving us. One last thing to pick on my daughters. There are things my daughters have done in their lives where they've earned something from me, whether it's an allowance, a pat on the back, respect, trust. They've done a lot to earn things from me. But there's one thing that they've never earned from me, and that's my love. That's me. That's not something they did. That's all me. Now, I got that love from God, but my love for them, it's my heart that's in that. It's my strength that's in that. It's my mind that's in that. It's my soul. They don't earn my love. That's grace. And as long as they know that I love them, if they have faith in that love, that will make a profound difference in helping them sort through things. And the good news is this. There's never been a person I've ever had in any of my churches in almost 50 years, there has never been a person in any of my churches that God did not love. There have been some people I've had troubles with, but I've never had a single person that God did not love. And I've had to have faith in that. Here's the other thing. There's never been a moment in my whole life that God has not loved me. That's the good news of Galatians. Practical things. Sometimes we have to take a leap of faith, not because we think we're going to make it, but because we're just going to take it anyway. I can't wait until I think, okay, there's probably a 55% chance I'm going to make it. If I change my attitude and if I change my... I can't calculate. Faith doesn't mean sit back and calculate and only jump when the odds are right. And when we talk about faith, we mean jumping into an attitude, jumping into action. That's the other thing about faith. Faith is not a head trip. Faith means I change my attitude about myself. I change my attitude about the world. I change my attitude about other people. That's faith, when I jump into a different attitude that I'm not sure will work. Faith is when I jump into action, even though I'm not sure that action will work. But it's the action of somebody who is loved towards somebody else who is loved by God. So, from a practical standpoint, we never wait until we calculate that the odds are with us. Faith means we jump anyway. First practical point. Second practical point. Faith means that we jump away from being right into being righteous when we're confronted with one or the other. Now, I like to be right. I liked to get good grades in school. I liked to, for people to tell me I'm right. I like for people that I've had an argument to come back to me later on and say, you were right. I love being right. I guess we all do. We love to be right. And religion is so much about being right. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to confess this. You need to profess that. You need to believe this. You need to understand this. You need to do this. You need to give this. You need to. Religion is all about being right and trying to learn how to be right. In fact, some people send their kids to church so that they can learn to be right about things. Think rightly and act rightly. But sometimes we have to make the choice instead to be righteous. And what righteous means is that we are right with each other. I can be right, but if it separates me from you, then I've put more faith in being right than I have put my faith in being righteous. And at every point, here's what Paul writes in the Galatians. He's very strong about this. He said, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Galatians 5, 6. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. And so many of our problems that we have in the church are because we think we're right. We think we're right about our political position. We think we're right about homosexuality and whatever our position is on that. We think we're right about what the preacher should do or who should be the preacher. We think we're right about whether the church should do this or do that for trying to be secure. We think we're right about how you interpret this passage of the Bible. We think we're right in terms of how you do hospitality. We think we're right about how you do worship. And over and over and over again, the church is aching because it's being stretched and ripped apart by this rightness. And Paul says the only thing that counts is that we work it out. We work out through faith, through love. And he says a little later in the fifth chapter of Galatians, he said, All the laws, all the rules, all the things about getting it right are really ultimately fulfilled when we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the only thing. And so that takes faith to say, you're more important to me than my position on this issue. That's a leap of faith. To leap from rightness into righteousness. And sometimes people will look at the mess our country's in now and they'll see how polarized we are and how we can't even have a civil conversation about things. And they say, how in the world is our country ever going to work its way out of this? Because we're so adamant that we're right and the other side's wrong. Well, this is where Christians need to step up and say, you know what? I don't any more agree with you than the man on the moon on this issue. But you know what? You're more important to me than what my position is. And everybody's got to be that way. And that's how our country's going to get through it. We don't deserve it because we've messed things up pretty bad. But we're going to get through it by the grace of God. We've got to take a leap of faith that we are more important to each other. And even if it is not reciprocated, we don't have that luxury of choosing to be right. The leap of faith into righteousness. And then finally, I just want to point out the scripture I started with, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that list of things where we're living in the Spirit. I think from a practical standpoint, if there's one scripture that we should read every day of our lives, it's that one, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Because this is what happens when we, this is how we're changed. This is the Spirit lifting us up and opening us up. It's showing us how to live in love with each other. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and generosity and self-control. The gifts, the fruits of the Spirit are helping us. So I'll close as I started. Paul sees so many things that need to be changed. And he can be crabby about that. From now on, I don't want any of you to cause me any more trouble. But if we can see beyond that, his insight is so powerful and so life-giving. And for books like Galatians, I am so thankful that we have it with us today.